Rick Mahn is locked and loaded on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yes, we're into hour number three of the show today, 21st of September 2022. It's been quite a lively one. We had Ed Cooper from Melbourne out of the blocks, and then Ermi Ray from France giving us the lowdown, the D-low on what's going on in Gay Paris. In France, Paris, where she lives, talking about immigration, talking about fuel and energy price hikes, talking about a disturbing development that the French government now frown severely upon homeschooling children and will only accept pulling your kids out of school if the child is seriously ill or disabled. And you must be able to demonstrate that if they knock on the door and decide to check if you're telling the truth or not. So this is a disturbing development due to kick in this autumn in France. I need to look into that in more detail because it's very worrying, to be honest with you. Now, in this part of the show, last guest of the day for me is Basil Valentine. Before I welcome him back on again, I just want to look at some breaking headlines from the UK. Let's keep it on UK and Ireland for the last part of the show today. Energy saving measures, The Guardian are reporting, could boost the UK economy by $7 billion a year. Okay, $7 billion a year boost to the economy, but Liz Truss is going to print up to $200 billion over the next 2 years and give it to the energy companies as subsidies. So she prints and gives $200 billion to the energy companies, and we save $14 billion over the next 2 years. Simple mathematics. Who's the winner? Who's the loser? But of course, the average punter won't do the mathematics. They'll just simply think it's great. Warning over energy scam bill support messages. Everybody's panicking about energy bills at the moment. All UK businesses secure major energy support package to slash bills over the next 6 months. They're not slashing bills. They're simply not going to stick the knife in as deep as what they said they would and twist it as many times as what they said they would. Okay, the prices are still hugely inflated over what they were this time last year, but people are grateful that they're not even higher. Still, that's not really the way that it works, but that's the way people's mindset is. Firms and schools fear cliff edge once $25 billion energy support package ends. Again, here we have the fear. They kick the can a little bit further down the road. They tell you you're getting a reprieve, but in 6 months, you better brace yourself for more pain and suffering. So even when the solution is rolled out, they're still saying, but you know what? It's only temporary and this is going to get worse again. And people are in a state and people are in a panic. It's basically the way that these people work. That's their mindset. In terms of what else is happening in the world, let me just check here. Some of the other things that I've highlighted that I want to bring to your attention here to close off the show. Al Gore, good old Al Gore, sees the world at a tipping point for climate action. According to Reuters, the people who do the alleged fact-checking. So if Reuters are saying that it's true, then of course it must be true. And if Al Gore says we're at tipping point, well, of course it must be true. It's complete bunkum. All right. I have as much authority on this subject as Al Gore, and I'm telling you right now, we are not at a tipping point for climate action. We're at a tipping point to remove the globalists from the world stage. That's our biggest threat to mankind, not the weather or CO2 or carbon, etc., etc. Al Gore and his ilk are the problem. Hospitals, we're being told this winter, will not be available for some elderly sick people. They will be treated at home using a triage service. So breaking news for Ireland, winter will be, quote, hell on earth, unquote, for patients and hospitals and staff. So there you have it. The media is telling you it's going to be hell if you're sick this winter. So don't even think about getting the cold or the flu or, heaven forbid, a variant of COVID, because you may be turned away from hospital and told to stay at home. And if you're lucky, they'll dispatch a nurse out to stick an IV into you or a drip or dispense some remdesivir or midazolam or ventilate you, maybe with your own vacuum cleaner hose. You know, times are hard. They haven't got ventilators. Maybe they'll just switch on the suction on your vacuum cleaner and just suck the lungs clean out of your body. I don't know. I wouldn't put it past them. So more fear-mongering there. More fear-mongering. Okay. TNT Radio, we like to support local events. We like to support global events. We like to support interplanetary events. Someday we'll have a station on Mars, maybe even on Jupiter, I don't know, on one of their moons, Titan, I don't know. But we're aiming for the stars, guys. We're aiming for the stars and the planets, galaxies maybe, I don't know. But someday we're going to get there, and we're going to get there with your help and support. And we're putting in the effort too, broadcasting, getting the word out there. We ask you to download our app. We ask you to check out our website, tntradio.live, and we ask you to forward us information. If you're planning an event or you want to promote something that you're doing that aligns with what we're all about, we will happily publicize it for you and make sure that we get you maximum exposure because, yeah, we're all on the same side here and we all have the same goal. So let's keep shoulder to shoulder. Let's keep the chest up. And let's keep the shoulders back and the chin up and all that jazz as we partner with you lovely people at TNT Radio.
It's the stuff.
It's that division
people are talking about.
And that cluelessness that they want to push.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Mr. Basil Valentine is back in TNT Towers. I'm a little bit concerned about him. He's a kind of an elderly gentleman, and he's been told that this winter, if he gets sick, it might be hell on earth and he might die. Basil, are you going to be with us in January? Am I going to have to find myself a new guest for every other Wednesday, or are you still going to be alive? What do you think?
A little less of the elderly, Rick, you know.
Okay, mature.
Jagger's got the best part of 20 years on me, and he's still jumping around the stage like Jack Flash, quite literally.
Yes.
So, yes. You know, we like to think we've got a long way to go yet. But I've certainly no intention of getting sick this winter. Mm-hmm. And being free of that deadly immune system compromising injection, I think I stand every chance.
I think you do. And you've had a dose of the big C already. I remember you were feeling a little bit poorly with it earlier this year. And
in fact,
you still carried on. The show carried on because I think you came on here when you were still at the tail end of a dose of COVID.
That's
and you guess what? You made it. You made it not only through the show, but you made it through the spring and the summer. And now we're into winter.
That's right.
You're still alive and kicking. Thank God for that.
Yeah, no, I mean, the idea that one would need an injection of a mysterious, poisonous, colourless liquid, which is somehow going to protect the body better than your natural immune system is just, well, frankly, absurd, Rick. And, you know, I'm pleased to say it is all starting to unravel with the vaccines. It looks like Trudeau is going to drop a Rive can, the requirement for visitors to Canada to be vaccinated. It's still the case that you have to be so-called fully vaccinated as a foreign national to enter the United States of America. And I believe there are still restrictions in place in continental Europe, in the Schengen area, although they're set to lapse at some point soon too. Let's remember, it was only 12 months ago, less than 12 months ago, December 2021, that dreadful von der Leyen woman, the only way to describe her, was talking about compulsory vaccinations.
That's right. That's right. And the Germans, of course, being the Germans, they were obviously fielding that idea as well. And I think at one point, Austria were fining the over 60s if they didn't get vaccinated, and they were told that they would be fined on a monthly basis until they actually complied with the rules and regulations. So, you know, I think we're coming to an end of this COVID narrative. And certainly it's becoming harder and harder for them to flog that dead vaccine horse, albeit some people are still buying into it and they will continue to faithfully go and queue up and get their jabs. But I think they're having a lot of difficulty, Basil, in, how would you say, converting the last of us apostates back to the faith again. It's not happening. Even Jacinda Ardern this week, that horrible, horrible woman from New Zealand has said, well, you know what, it doesn't look like people are going down that road anymore, so let's just live and let live. You know, fear, fear, fear. I talked earlier on there about this winter will be hell on earth. There's an article here, just you can tell me what you think about it. It's in breakingnews.ie that was published yesterday. So some guy called Dr. Fergal Hickey, the president of the Irish Association of Emergency Medicine, has warned that this winter will be hell on earth for both patients and hospital staff if, here's the word, if projections for hospital and ICU admissions are correct. So it's based again on modeling. How much damage and how much pain and suffering has modeling, and should I say grossly inaccurate and failed modeling, caused to you, I, and the people of the world at large? How much damage have these bloody modelers caused us?
Well, the answer, Rick, is inestimable. Literally, worldwide, it's inestimable. And, you know, let's not forget, people have committed suicide. They have had their businesses and livelihoods destroyed, quite apart from those that have been killed and injured by those dangerous garbage injections, you know. So, you know, the whole COVID narrative, frankly, from start to finish, is beginning to unravel. A modicum of research, rather like 9/11. Would tell you that it is total garbage from start to finish. But, you know, as per usual, we're up against the monolith of the lying corporate media, which, with the sole exception of GB News, continues to toe the party line. And on that subject, I've discovered this morning, it seems that every time we wake up, Rick, we are greeted by troubling news. And the latest is that PayPal have demonetized that most excellent site, the Daily Expose.
Okay.
They have, Toby Young was on GB News talking to Mark Dolan this morning, saying that the Daily Expose, well, first of all, he had his personal PayPal account abruptly cancelled, just simply terminated for no reason given, just simply violation of a policy or something, you know, the usual. No appeals process, nobody you can actually speak to, no precise example of exactly what it is he's done wrong cited. Okay. So he got an email.
That's the guy, Basil, that's the guy who runs the Daily Expose, not Toby Young. I think that he runs something else, the Daily Skeptic or something like that. Is that right? Was he simply commenting on the fact that somebody else had had their funding channel?
It was Toby Young, the associate editor of The Spectator, that bastion of the establishment, who has had his personal account cancelled.
Right. See, this is something that happened, you know, you'll remember back, it seems like an eternity.
There's more, Rick.
Go ahead.
He then got an email a few minutes later saying the PayPal account of the Daily Expose had been cancelled. And he got this is the most troubling of all. He then got an email just a few minutes after that, these three all came in quick succession, saying that the PayPal account of the Free Speech Union has been cancelled.
Yes, I saw that one now. You sent me that one through and I was going to bring that one up. So it was actually like a triple whammy. It wasn't just the Free Speech Union.
Yeah, it was a triple whammy. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Now, you and I actually, I remember, you know, way back in February when the whole Canadian truckers protest was happening, one of the things they did was they weaponized access to cash. So they froze the accounts of people that were participating in the protest. They even went as far as to freeze charitable donations that had been given to the men that were on their way to Ottawa to make their stand against fascist Trudeau. So we saw earlier on this year the weaponization of people's bank accounts against them as a deterrent to either show up at a protest, to be in a place that they did not want us to be. We've seen it this year also in China. They have restricted access to people's deposits, renamed them investments so that they can't have easy access to them because banks can pretty much do what they want. And now we're seeing this growing trend, I might say, in people's, how would you say, their income streams are being interrupted now through the like of PayPal, and their assets, anything they hold in those accounts is also frozen pending investigation. So if you had 10 grand in there, Basil, if you were fortunate enough to have a lump sum in there, they can also freeze that while they investigate you. And if they find you guilty, of which you can't appeal, they can keep those assets as compensation for all the effort they put in censoring you in the first place. Very disturbing, my friend.
Oh, it's beyond disturbing. I mean, this is full-blown authoritarianism. And in the case of a business like PayPal, there's absolutely no recourse in this country, at least through the courts. In the United States, you could claim that your First Amendment rights are being infringed, and there would be an avenue to sue PayPal, but not in this country. Absolutely no chance whatsoever. You simply have to take your medicine. So what with Google, PayPal, Facebook, etc., we've had the chief executive of Facebook admitting how they had an open line of communication with the White House and have been regularly censoring the stories about COVID that the White House disapproved of. And then in this country, we had that case recently of the BBC gleefully gloating about how it got an entire Facebook group of vaccine injury sufferers wiped out.
Yeah, it is a sinister development in this whole pantomime that's happening at the minute. The withholding of people's ability to access their own money that are held in these accounts on the basis that they're not towing the line or they're not piping the company tunes is absolutely something that everybody needs to be concerned about, even if you don't have a PayPal account and even if you don't use it, because if it rolls out to those people and it had rolled out to citizens that were just simply taking part in a protest earlier on this year in Canada, it absolutely can and will be coming your direction also. So I'm glad you brought that up, Basil. We've got to take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to look at this. Is there a future in us, people like us, using these platforms like PayPal and Facebook, etc.? Is it only a matter of time? Is the writing on the wall for guys like you and me? I want to look at that maybe when we come back after these short ads here on TNT Radio.
I view Al Sharpton as a poverty pimp.
Terrorism from white supremacy is the most lethal threat to the homeland.
I walk outside every day in fear of white supremacy right here in the middle of the hood. Okay, yeah, right.
My grandparents had a cross burned on their property. We were slaves in the past. We're free now.
I never seen a white supremacist in my life. Never, and they can't point to one. Where the hell are they? I wish somebody would introduce me to a white supremacist. I would like to talk to them and take pictures with them because I never seen one in my life.
Biden says that the country is systematically racist. You know, I almost want to look at him and say, haven't you been the system for the last 50 years?
He's the one that sponsored the 1994 crime bill, which unequivocally basically targeted black men in black neighborhoods.
The polarization. The left versus right, the black versus white.
Pro-choice against pro-life.
I work for Black Lives Matter. I'm sorry that I scared you.
People have had to make it like they're apologizing for their whiteness.
And could you just please apologize for, you know, for your white privilege?
what's more disheartening to me is that those who are within the black community are allowing for that to take place.
So really what we're dealing with is a cultural Marxism that Joe Biden and all the rest from the left were trying to inculcate into our society.
Well, you were once the oppressor, so now I must be the oppressor. You don't avenge evil for evil.
It's okay to say disparaging things against white people. Our former president, Barack Obama, said it, you know, about old white men are a problem. Except when it comes time for him to fly around on their airplanes and ride around on their yachts or be their next door neighbors or endorse them for president like Joe Biden, then old white men are okay. This is their last gasp.
What do progressive socialists really want?
Watch Systematic Deception at SalemNow.com.
Remember when they told us that the last presidential election was the most secure election in history? Well, they lied to you and the rest of the world. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Okay, I'm very happy to be in conversation with my old sparring partner, Basil Valentine, who, by the way, you can connect with on Twitter at says_Basil. That's S-A-Y-S underscore Basil, B-A-S-I-L. Basil is also a contributor to 21st Century Wire and also hosts the Sunday Wire podcast with the legendary, let me just say, an extremely nice Patrick Henningsen. Talking of censorship, talking about clamping down, our mutual friend Patrick also felt the sting earlier on this year when the like of RT News was demonized following the Ukraine conflict blossoming back in February. Obviously, he contributes for them. Ofcom decided that they were a wicked and evil organization in America. They were banned from broadcasting there. A lot of people felt that the pinch, especially if they were relying on their contributions to RT News or Sputnik to make a living. So it is creeping close to home, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. It's very much the stepping stones approach. Started mm-hmm. with Donald Trump being kicked off Twitter, Alex Jones being kicked off Twitter. Well, you're not a Trump fan, you're not an Alex Jones fan, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Then it's, we've had other websites like Mondo Vice, a very informative Middle East news channel demonetized by PayPal. PayPal seemed to be a law unto themselves. The solution is to set up independent networks. That's the only answer, is to set up independent free speech networks for payment systems, for buying and selling, so that, you know, there's no reason why we all have to use PayPal. They have some, you know, quite clever proprietary software. I've noticed that eBay slightly divorce themselves from PayPal. They now make payments direct to your bank account. You know, there are others that have popped up recently. I don't know if you've seen Klarna or ClearPay, some of these, I don't know how they make their money, some of these interest-free credit options. So, you know, there are lots of things that, you know, we can do. Obviously, it takes some doing. I'm not personally in a position to set up a rival to PayPal, but that doesn't mean to say it can't be done.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not just, you know, the platforms that you mentioned earlier on, or you name checked earlier on, places like Facebook, places like Twitter, for example, that we would both use, you know, I've felt for a while, and we've discussed this also in the past, that people like us, and that's an awful way to refer to us as, but people like us are frowned upon on those platforms in general. And I think it's only a matter of time before, you know, it's lights out permanently, and the need for independent networking, places like 21st Century Wire, places like UK Column News, places like TNT Radio will become more and more vital in this pushback against globalism. I think over the next 12 months, it's really going to accelerate, Basil, because the clamps are, the vice is tightening on censorship. It is not loosening. It is not taking a step back. It is incessantly pushing forward to silence dissenting voices like yours and mine, and not just to silence them, but to financially punish them at the moment. The trajectory is not looking good, is, I suppose, what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to look for a positive here, but I'm not really seeing one when it comes to this business of censorship.
There is a positive, Rick, and that's that an increasing number of mainstream commentators are beginning to realize that there's something wrong with this picture. Toby Young, as I said, is associate editor of The Spectator. You could not get a more establishment periodical than The Spectator. It's a sort of house organ of the Conservative Party. Similarly, Talk Radio's Julia Hartley Brewer, she tweeted out this morning about how appalling this was. And gradually, one by one, people who would never have previously considered themselves to be, quote, conspiracy theorists or, you know, in any felt in any way threatened by any New World Order censorship are starting to see that, you know, the high watermark is getting higher and higher. And it's getting closer and closer to their beach huts, you know.
It is. That's a fair point. I suppose when I said about the lack of positives, I was more so thinking about the lack of you and I operating in the trenches, operating in the fields. And, for example, seeing people like Toby Young being financially penalized, seeing people being struck off and banned permanently, like Patrick was, for example, on Twitter. He had a permanent lifetime ban, despite the fact that he had a six-figure following on Twitter. And obviously, he's been restricted from his platform there, as has his output for the like of RT News. But I suppose you would say, as you've pointed out, the silver lining in the cloud, or looking at the positive side, is there's certainly more people speaking up and highlighting the gross misjustices that are going on here, which can't be a bad thing. But yeah, let's take that as a positive in the sea of negativity. We've got to take another quick break just for news. We'll be back in 30 seconds on TNT Radio, and we're going to look at Liz Truss. We're going to turn the spotlight, unfortunately, on Liz Truss, because I think she's going to emerge from the shadows, or like Dracula from his coffin when the night falls. I think she's going to start making some waves on the world stage now. Now is her time. We'll look at that when we come back here with Mr. Basil Valentine on TNT Radio.
Darren Metzer here with a look at your TNT headlines. The United Nations chief has delivered one of his most blunt speeches ever given to world leaders, while opening the UN General Assembly in New York. Australia's foreign minister is expected to meet with her Chinese counterpart later this week, for the second time since taking office. And for the first time since World War II, Russia has ordered the immediate partial mobilization of its military reservists to defend the motherland.
God, you're amazing. You're a much better listener than my wife. You're always there for me. I think I may be in love.
Where is she?
It's not what it seems. I was talking to...
Who's the tramp I heard you talking to?
That was my Alexa, sweetie.
Well, she sounds like a tramp.
Fall in love with news and talk all over again with your smart device. Just tell it to play.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, Basil, I don't want to say that Liz Truss has been overlooked and sidelined by the events of the last few weeks with regards to the announcement of the Queen's death and funeral and so on and so forth and everything that was going on around that. I'm not sure, you were on here 2 weeks ago, was Liz just installed that week, or was it must have been either that week or the week after, and then the Queen announcement was made and everything was focused on that. Now that that is sort of behind us, Liz is now becoming vocal. She's talking about she doesn't care if she's popular. She doesn't mind being unpopular. She will not cap bankers' bonuses. She will continue to support the proxy war in Ukraine to the tune of $2.3 billion to the end of next year. She will pay hundreds of billions in subsidies to energy companies, and that the price that we pay for our freedom against the evil Putin is higher prices, suck it or don't. That's what we're getting as her opening gambit. What do you make of Liz's first month in the job?
Well, it's 15 days, actually. She was she met the Queen at Balmoral a fortnight ago yesterday.
Mm.
And the Queen was dead 48 hours later. Just a coincidence, nothing to worry about. In fact, I do have my questions about the Queen's ultimately very sudden demise.
Uh-huh.
Because she was talking to her racing advisor, John Warren, on Sunday about the mating plans for her mares at the Royal Stud for next spring. And she had a winner trained by Clive Cox on Tuesday afternoon, I think. One of her racehorses won a race. And as she usually does, she spoke to the trainer afterwards. And was, you know, in perfectly good form. And then suddenly, 48 hours later, she was dead.
After meeting Liz Truss.
Well, yeah, I think that's coincidental. But what isn't coincidental, of course, is that she had had a number of the injections, which are known to cause sudden death. I mean, because of her advanced age, 96, the Queen was not recorded in the press as having, quote, died suddenly. But the fact is, she did die suddenly.
She
had mobility issues, and she had some of the usual problems associated with somebody of 96. But there were no reports that she was ailing from any sort of long-term life-threatening condition whatsoever. It was really only sort of old age and mobility that meant she was sort of pretty much confined to Balmoral and Windsor Castle and sort of pretty much entirely withdrawn from public life. There wasn't because of any sort of heart condition or anything like that at all. So other people have said, of course, that other people, of course, Rick, I'm not disputing. I'm not disputing.
No, yeah, I know you're not. I know you're not. But that's what I mean. You know, she had a good innings, didn't she?
She did. She certainly did, and she had a jolly good send off. But but the fact is, she did die very suddenly. That's all. That's all I'm saying. And I'm sure she had the injections. I mean, she was one of the great mistakes. The few great mistakes of her role in public life was
calling us selfish.
Others to have the injections, if you remember. She said, don't be selfish.
I do. Do you know what? This is going to seem kind of irreverent, but it's not. But you're talking about something, and something has flashed back into my head. Remember the last time you came on here 2 weeks ago? You were talking about you were going to horse racing, and you tipped. Well, you didn't tip. I tipped the horse French something, and you told us to go each way on it.
You
did that thing ever?
It didn't. No, he was drawn wide, and the jockey Danny Tadro, who'd never sat on him before, stayed very wide at Doncaster, and as a result, ran about 100 yards further than he needed to or should have done. The horse led, which over a distance he'd never tried before, wasn't particularly wise, and he ran out of petrol in the final furlong. But what I can tell
you,
is that he was very well backed. He was backed from 16-1 a couple of days before the race to 8-1 at the off. So I wasn't the only one with ultimately misplaced confidence in the son of French.
And what was the name of the horse? Was it French? It was French something, wasn't it?
Yeah, his sire, his father is called French 15, but I keep
French
forgetting
15.
What his name is. Yeah, that's the name.
And you see the way I've got a good memory. I remembered it was French, and I remembered it was a horse at Doncaster. I remember you suggesting you wouldn't give a tip, so I tipped the horse. I take full responsibility for anyone that put money on that horse and lost it. But you did wisely advise our lovely listeners to go each way, which means if it finishes in the top three,
well,
you get a few quid
came
back.
Seventh,
but it was a dead duck.
Yeah, he came seventh,
it was a dead
nine.
Duck.
They don't pay out for coming seventh, even with the extra places or anything. They never pay for coming seventh. But
the only way The only way you could have got a payout there, Basil, is if you had actually specifically placed a bet with the bookie to say, I'm backing French 15 to come seventh, in which case you might have got odds in that one, but you don't get anything for seventh place in a horse race generally. Is that a fair point?
Yes, you can do that. He will win more races. He's trained by a tremendous young trainer called Paddy Toomey in Ireland, who has a terrific strike rate. I mean, about 40% of all his runners win. He places his horses very carefully. So he'll win more races. He's in the Irish Cesarewitch on Sunday over an extreme distance. I don't know if he'll run there, but if he does, he'll have an each way chance again. Anyway, back to
Liz Truss. We're not horse racing tipsters, by the way. On our Trek record, tipping horses speaks for itself. No further comment needed. Yeah, let's get back to Liz Truss, I think, before we paint ourselves in an even worse light by tipping more horses. Let's go back to Liz.
Yeah, well, you know, she's in New York, obviously, for the UN General Assembly. She's had meetings with Biden. Of course, there's this putative trade deal in the offing. Is it necessary? You know, what benefit is it going to be to Britain? I think there's the US wants us to drop certain safeguards, might be chlorinated chicken and coming across the Atlantic, things like that. We'll have to wait and see. She's made no secret of the fact that she's willing to enact unpopular policies in order to go for growth. And she made it clear to reporters on the flight over to the United States that increasing the size of the pie being the British economy, was more important to her than how the pie is distributed. And she's made no secret of the fact she's willing to, or is going to, remove the cap on bankers' bonuses, which, as you know, is one of most people's highest priorities, isn't it, Rick? I know they're out on the streets of Derry and Belfast every week waving placards saying, screaming, remove the cap on bankers' bonuses.
Or cut stamp duty. That's another one she's thrown into the mix a potential sweetener. But I talked about this earlier on. There could be a reduction in stamp duty, but the housing market is teetering on a knife edge at the minute. Looks like house prices could well plummet over the next 1 to 2 years. Interest rates are going up. So if you are buying a house right now, if you should decide you want to make that decision now, I suppose that would be a benefit to you. But, you know, it's like handing out, life jackets during a fire, house fire. They're not exactly going to do much good for you, unless, of course, you jump into a swimming pool or the garden pond. So, you know, these tax breaks for home buyers and removal of caps for bankers, it doesn't really affect you and I, does it? We want something that's going to help us. It's whether or not the bankers get paid or I don't get charged stamp duty is neither here nor there now. We need something that's going to help the majority of people in Britain, not the minority of people in Britain.
Well, her main plank is tax cuts, which obviously will put more money in people's pockets, but you know, these days, all they do with that money is go out and buy imports. You know, everything's made in China. So it's not really, it doesn't necessarily have much direct benefit to the British economy. It's also worth remembering that economics 101, and it's so unfortunate that we have such illiterate people in government, is that if you boost the income of lower income households, they spend a much higher proportion of any increase in income on essential goods and services, bread, potatoes, transport, that actually do get the economy moving again. Whereas if you boost the incomes of higher earners, that money often goes into overseas investments or into savings. It does absolutely nothing to enhance what's called the multiplier effect, which, of course, is that if I spend £5 in my local baker, she goes out and spends £4 of it on fruit and flour to make more cakes. Mm-hmm. And so that benefits the farmer who grew the flour and the orchard where they grew the fruit. And That puts money in the orchard workers' pocket, the farmers, and so on. That's the multiplier effect. But if you put that extra fiber in the pocket of a banker, he's liable to say, oh, well, thanks very much. I'll increase my stakeholding in Rio Tinto Zinc.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that, and that doesn't do the economy any good at all.
It doesn't. Sadly, the average punter out there doesn't have a clue about economics. And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. They just don't know how the economy works in general. So when they see things like tax cut and they see things like stamp duty cut and they see things like cap on energy price for 2 years at $2,500 a year, they automatically think that's a positive thing without digging into why in the long term it's absolutely anything but a positive thing. We've got to take another quick break. When we come back, I want to look at some of the other things that she's coming out with, including pledging her undying support for Zelensky and co. until at least the end of 2023, and the fact that she's not particularly fussed about being popular, and her meeting this week with none other than Henry Kissinger, you know, the godfather, I suppose you would say, of the World Economic Forum through his mentorship of Klaus Schwab way back in the mists of time. So let's dig a little bit deeper and see what other dirt we can uncover on Liz Truss before the end of the hour here on TNT Radio. We'll be right back. Please don't go away.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
I'll be out with Michael Parker tomorrow, so make sure you give a listen to that, because there is a lot going on as far as hurricanes go. A Hurricane Fiona is a Category 3 hurricane. It's likely to become a Category 4 as it goes by to the west of Bermuda, and it's liable to cause wind gusts to 100 miles an hour at Bermuda. It will then continue northward and hit the Canadian Maritime provinces, most likely as the strongest hurricane ever hit the Canadian Maritime provinces. So Fiona, which was very slow to develop in the tropics, certainly packs a punch. In the meantime, I expect a new storm to develop in the Western Caribbean this weekend, and we're liable to have a major hurricane in the eastern Gulf of Mexico impacting Florida, and then the southeast United States next week. This is WeatherBell.com meteorologist Joe Bastardi for TNT Radio, asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you've got.
As an Olympic athlete, I prepare for everything. So when I became pregnant, I thought I was ready. But at 32 weeks, I was diagnosed with severe preeclampsia and had an emergency C-section. Looking back, had I known the warning signs, I would have talked to my doctor sooner. Too many women die of pregnancy-related complications, and most are preventable. If you or someone you know is pregnant or recently had a baby, learn the warning signs. It could help save her life. Hear her.
The truth is out there. All the other stations suck.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
All the other stations suck. Who am I to disagree with that, eh? Who am I to disagree with that? Of course I'm biased. I love TNT. I'm a fanboy. I am a fanboy. And yes, I shall be until the day I die, or until I'm approached by Bono and Prince Charles and say, hey, Richard, we want you to come and broadcast for us in the World Economic Forum, and we'll make sure you're well looked after. Then, of course, I'll show my true controlled opposition shill, demonic, satanic, Freemason colors and jump ship. But until that time, here I am and you are stuck with me on Locked and Loaded. And I'm glad you're tuned in. I'm glad to be joined by Basil Valentine. We're looking at Liz Truss. Let's talk about bloodlust. Basil, let's talk about bloodlust. Liz was on TV earlier this year, famously calling upon British men to step up if they felt the need to become mercenaries and go and fight Putin and his war machine in Ukraine. She would give it her full blessing. Now we're told she's pledging her undying military support on behalf of the UK for the next, at least until the end of 2023, to the tune of $2.3 billion. And she has made a statement that, you know, high energy prices are a price worth paying if it means we can remain free. So what do you make of all that?
Disastrous, in a word, you know. She met Kissinger last year. I was just looking it up. It was exactly a year ago when, laughably, she was foreign secretary. And he, of course, has actually been making the right sort of noises about how a diplomatic solution to events in Ukraine is required. And that has never been more relevant than right now, because after Putin's speech last night, the EU is accusing him of a dangerous gamble. And the rhetoric continues to be ramped up on both sides. Truss is continuing alongside Biden with her, you know, bellicose rhetoric. Putin himself said, we're not at war. No, it was Shoigu, the defense minister, said, we're not at war with Ukraine. In Ukraine, we are at war with the West. And the possibility of it going nuclear in any way, shape or form, even tactical nuclear weapons, represents the most dangerous situation in our lifetimes. I was born shortly after the Cuban Missile Crisis. That's the only post-war situation that remotely resembles where we are now. But of course, in the Cuban Missile Crisis, there wasn't actually any shooting.
No.
Whereas we've got real warfare, people getting killed every day in the Ukraine, and it's a total disaster. And the absence of anything by the United Nations, which is in General Assembly, of any sort of mature or wise heads in the room. You know, I hate to say it, but Kissinger is, by comparison to the likes of Biden and Truss, a wise head.
that's a pretty damning statement against Joe Biden when you can actually say that, you know, Kissinger's the voice of reason and all this. But, you know, let's look at this business of nuclear. We've touched on this before because it's always been floating about there in the background. But because of the reality of mutually assured destruction, that if there is something unleashed that no one wins, we all suffer, we all die, and it's a post-apocalyptic wasteland, I don't think we're going to go down that route. However, Truss has said before she was put into the role of PM that she would have no hesitation to use nuclear weapons as the leader of Britain. Biden is mumbling this week in a 60-minute interview saying that if Putin was to use something along those lines, that all hell would break out and he would know exactly what hit him. You know, veiled threats, veiled references are being used. You know, I think what's being set up at the minute, Basil, is that the narrative is very much that Russia's starting to lose. They're like a wounded animal stuck in a corner, and that they would stop at nothing, and there's no depth to which they would not sink, including the use of a tactical nuclear strike, causing a mass loss of life. Whether or not they are actually responsible for that would be highly questionable, especially given NATO's pedigree. And of course, that would then give them free rein to retaliate in whatever means they saw fit. Basically, there's nothing I wouldn't put past them at this point, Basil, including, a huge event, you know, that would dwarf something like 9/11, a democidal event on the people of Europe or the people of Ukraine, heaven help them, just to further their agenda even more. Am I being too dramatic here, or would you say it's at least on the table as a possibility?
Well, unfortunately, it is. You know, we've got leaders in the West who, frankly, belong in a secure unit for the criminally insane.
Yeah,
nobody who says that they would use nuclear weapons against another nuclear-armed superpower has any place in public life. That, you know, the correct answer to that question, would you use nuclear weapons, is no, of course not. Yeah. They are there as a deterrent against, you know, we should be moving towards multilateral nuclear disarmament for the very reason that with brain-dead imbeciles like Biden and intellectually challenged individuals like Truss with their hands on the levers of power, we are all in danger. You might be all right in Northern Ireland, but Putin has said he would strike London. And I'm only a few miles from London down on the south coast. And the nuclear weapons of today are in some cases hundreds of times more powerful than the ones unleashed at Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
Nagasaki, you know. Yeah. Well, London, actually, let me just say this. I will not be all right, and let me tell you why. Because in my town is the largest British Army base in the entire United Kingdom, and I am slap bang on the border of it almost. So I would say Rick Munn would be a little pile of nuclear ash, or possibly a shadow burned onto the pavement, should Putin decide to unleash hell. So I don't even think I'm going to escape from it, Basil. But you know what? I'm past caring anymore. If they want to nuke me, let them nuke me. At least it'll be over quickly, you know.
It will be over quickly, Rick. You know, we won't be concerned about the horse racing results anymore. You know,
no, French 15 will be a thing we won't even be considering at that point in time.
That's the sire. The horse is called French Claim. But anyway, just to bring us right up to date, the European Commission spokesperson, Peter Starno, has said this morning that the, quote, sham illegal referenda planned in Luhansk, Donetsk, Kherson and Zaporizhia this weekend will not be recognized. He told reporters that Putin is doing a nuclear gamble. He's using the nuclear element as part of his arsenal of terror. It is unacceptable.
Interesting rhetoric there.
EU member states have apparently held discussions on how to respond to the latest developments, warning that Moscow that there would be consequences from our part. I mean, this is all so short-sighted. I'm sorry to say, Rick, I find it really rather depressing.
Isn't it? And let's be honest, Basil, if Putin wants to cause mass casualties or mass destruction and mass collapse of infrastructure, he doesn't need to launch any nuclear missiles. He's already switching off, you know, the gas and potentially the energy and the food. So if he really wanted to, you know, he could just continue along this path that he's on at the minute and restrict access to energy even further. And places like Germany and places like France and places like Poland will feel it most acutely. He doesn't need to go down the nuclear route. And again, the rhetoric that's being used is very much almost like, again, that's why I said it's almost like Truss has got a bloodlust. If it's not recommending men to go and take up arms on the ground in Ukraine, it's the fact that she makes no hesitation in saying she would be prepared as prime minister to use nuclear weaponry, and she doesn't give a damn if she's looked upon as being unpopular. That's about the most dangerous category of human being possible in the position that she's in at the minute, but yet there she is.
Well, it's indicative, if I may say so, of a very unevolved mind, you know, of somebody who thinks very much in sort of extremely simplistic black and white terms. It's extremely immature, really, as well as being sort of downright stupid and nasty. And it, you know, we're stuck with it. And, you know, we can only hope that somewhere out there, you know, perhaps at the UN this week, you know, a greater sense of sanity will start to prevail. But it's hard to see at the moment where that's going to come from, Rick.
It really is, my friend, because when you cast your eye across, you know, the global stage at the so-called elected representatives and leaders and presidents and whoever, I mean, like, who do you pick out as someone, anyone? Can you even pick anyone out to say, you know what, I have a little bit of confidence in that one. I kind of respect that one. I would be comfortable with that person leading me. When you look at Trudeau, when you look at Macron, when you look at von der Leyen, when you look at Liz Truss, you know, and on at Naftali Bennett and Anthony Albanese and Jacinda Ardern and on and on and on it goes. Vladimir Zelensky, who the hell would you look at really in a lineup and say, yeah, I'll pick that one, please, as my leader? Or would you just say, you know what, just let the asteroid come right now?
Well, bizarrely, although I thought his election was a disaster when he came to power, and he's made some terrible noises about the indigenous tribal peoples in the Amazon, But I'd have to say Jair Bolsonaro on everything else, you know.
Yeah.
As the only one. Yeah, there was that Asia summit in Kazakhstan last week with Xi Jinping, Putin, various other Asian leaders, basically with a completely different narrative and a completely different power block to the one we see in the West. I mean, both that EU spokesman and Antony Blinken have been saying that the referendums being held in the occupied parts of Ukraine are a sham. Well, why are they a sham? Why are they a sham? You know, if you can tell us why they're a sham, are people being coerced at gunpoint into voting one way or the other? You know, let's have evidence from the ground as to why they are a sham. It's the same as the case in Crimea, where people voted overwhelmingly to join the Russian Federation. That was dismissed. They're always banging on about democracy. But when, you know...
Do you know what? You're building up a head of steam here just as we're coming right up to the hour marker. If I had another 30 minutes, even you and I think we could go at this hard for another 30 minutes. But unfortunately, we can't. Basil, we are out of time. Thank you so much, sir, for joining me again. I appreciate it. That's Basil Valentine. Connect with him at says, S-A-Y-S underscore Basil, B-A-S-I-L on Twitter. Basil, enjoy the rest of your day, wherever you're going, whatever you're planning and doing. Listeners, hope you have enjoyed the show. I'll be back on again tomorrow morning. What day is it today? Wednesday, Thursday, is it? Mr. Henningsen's coming up next. Don't go away. TNT Radio. No, Jeremy Nail. Sorry, my bad. See you tomorrow. My head's fried.